a brain specialist about the this question about where jazz comes from and if it could be a physical.
Well, what I was concerned with was the, I guess they call it the synapse, the immediate, I don't know quite what I mean, but I think it has to do with the immediate response from the brain, let's say in this case to the fingers. The reflexes, the nerve reflexes, the idea forming in the brain and immediately going to the fingers. He said it's too fast. That the playing of jazz is too fast for it to be a cerebral process. That there conceivably could be laid into the brain certain patterns, harmonic patterns, melodic seeds, little ideas, little techniques, little rhythmic devices, which could be so implanted in the mind that when the jazz ideas started to run out, the interstices between one idea and another could be virtually cerebral because they'd be so implanted. But the actual creative process and continuation of jazz, chorus after chorus, simply was produced too fast by the fingers for the brain to produce them. So where does jazz come from? So I've talked to Whitney Balliot about it. He's been writing about jazz for 30 years. He doesn't. I talk to jazz players by the dozen. They don't even want to talk about it. But they don't know. You play it yourself. I ask you, why did you do that? Where did it come from? You don't know. You don't sometimes even remember. I've asked Mary McPartland how she makes modulations from one key to another, which would, as me as a half-baked composer, take hours to arrive at an equivalent piece of brilliance. And I will ask her about it after she's gotten through playing. She won't even know what I'm talking about. So I just wonder if we as a, we're supposed to be so bright about everything with science and all the new discoveries and all the new techniques and breakthroughs, that we should know everything we don't. And I think one of the things we don't know is the source of a great many of our, of what, why we do what we do it, and how we do it. One of those things is the playing of jazz. Now, if it just turns out to be a series of little cliches, or jazz players just play cliche after cliche, and say, all right, then it's been planted in the mind somehow, and they just simply unreal these patterns. But Valdez, chorus.
How would you relate this to, let's say, speech pattern? In other words, when we talk about something, sometimes you don't know what you're going to say two sentences ahead. Are you saying that jazz is too fast, that the actual, sometimes an arpeggio or a phrase is faster than the speech habit?
Well, you know how often people stumble in speech and how often they mess up their sentences and use the wrong word and hesitate and go back, and it's only rarely that you find a speaker who can continue to speak without hesitation, without and also not only do that, but build whatever he has to say as one would build a story or for example, lecturers who work without notes. And yet that lecture, once it's done, if it's been taped and printed, it will read as if written, edited, sharpened, pointed.
Which it has been, probably.
But not memorized. He knows what he wants to say overall, but he has no idea how he's going to say it, and yet he says it as if he had written it. Well, I don't know what kind of maybe intense intellectual training or the habit of speaking extemporaneously may is more likely than not. But I think that's frankly less extraordinary than playing. I mean, those words don't come out with one tenth the speed of a great. Supposing you take a player like, you know, that phase, and it still exists among certain jazz players, of how many notes you can play per second. Well, Sam Baron, who is a phenomenal flutist and a chess player and an intellectual, he was fascinated by Parker, you know, the saxophone player. And so he, I don't know how he did it, slowed down the record or what, and he took choruses off of these very fast 132nd note choruses. And he found out, to his absolute astonishment, that these arpeggiations were absolutely harmonically correct. There were no funny notes in them. They weren't just showing off and flashing a bunch of notes around. That all of that fast arpeggiation was all correct harmonically. Well, this is freaky. This is, and that's too fast. You see, speech is much slower. Double talkers, mix their words up deliberately, which is a technique and a device, but even they don't, nothing happens as fast. All right, let's take the slow ballad. That, I can say, might come out of the mind. But the fast swinging tune where everybody's on fire, and that's something to do with it, the passion, fire, the adrenaline. But the adrenaline doesn't create ideas. It may facilitate them, so far as it gives you energy, but it doesn't create ideas. And nobody will talk about it.
Well, now you mentioned, when you mentioned adrenaline earlier, you were talking about acting in a state of emergency. When it's not part of your normal pattern to do something. Now that's probably adrenaline. That
is probably.
But what is the relationship? That is there an analogy there that you were making?
Well, I don't know about that, because I think that helping in a crisis, for example, which might not normally be given to busting up a fight or something if you're young and strong, I consider that a more moral sort, having a moral source than adrenaline source. You do sense right and wrong, and you see that wrong is being done, and something built into your nature, and I think morality, I don't think it's an acquired taste. I think you're genetically, I swear to God, I think that the goodness and evil are genetic rather than behavioristic. You know, those fellows that claim that everything that you are is a result of behaviorism, that is, it's been acquired. As you grow, I don't know that. I think the geneticists someday will, I think they already are proving great many points about being born good and being born bad.
What if any studies have ever been made about among jazz musicians as to IQ?
There again, see, I have to admit that some of the dumbest guys I've ever met in my life are absolutely brilliant. Jazz were
right.
Highly sophisticated, and you would assume they were, and they haven't got a word to offer. I mean, they don't know language, they have never read, the vocabulary is minuscule, so it's that's nice.
No, that's what.
We could mention names, it wouldn't be fair, but there are players right now who are hair raising, who are totally inarticulate. They never read. Expression trying to improve their mind, and yet in that one area of playing, I mean, they're scholars, they're jazz scholars, and yet its source somehow leaks, it must leak down through, but it can't at the time. I don't know, and a lot of, but that's one of the reasons I asked Marion Hartland to write autobiography, thinking that in the course of doing so, she might herself discover how what she did, how it happened. They always try to minimize it. They say, oh, there's your facts. But they, it's not true, because very often there were things that they that astound. Like I watched her astound herself. I mean, she'll have a wild smile on her face because she did something that she had no idea what she was going to do. A tenth of a second before she did it. I don't know anybody who will among the players, even feel that it's coachable to talk about it. We do it. I do it. That's all. You do it. They'll tell you, how did you do that? I did it. They won't talk about it. They almost feel that the act is an intrusion to ask. Not that they know.
No, I think it's really ignorance, that brings that answer up. There's something about
go ahead. No, I'm just thinking about the back in the Baroque days when it is alleged, or maybe confirmed, that people used to gather in one of those homes and somebody would suggest a fugue subject and they would proceed to sing a fugue. That he had been improvising, putting that kind of polishing in church as he played for an offertory, whatever, recessional, whatever. Not polishing it, but Vidor, famous French organist, used to play all his jokes. But I don't mean the kind of joke that jazz players talk about. Jazz players say, you know, play a few of them play, so it's a part of canon, that's not a few.
So it's something about the environment in which you're in at the time, the level of improvisation, the quality of improvisation, having to do with, I think those are working with you. It's got to be...
I see, I'm in a career position because I've been running too many for 45 years.
I've heard you say it many times before. I've got a hunch.